אומר שהחוטא כאשר יתאחר לשוב לחטאתו יכבד מאוד עליו עונשו בכל יום. We won't read now the whole passages. We'll get back to them later. But what's bothering Rabbeinu Yonah? You shall know. Straight away, when I speak about the concept of tshuva, you shall know that if you delay doing tshuva and wait too long, that's very bad. That's very severe. What's the pressure? Where are we going? And Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't give us only one passage for this. He gives us some passage bit. Two passages, Chet, are all dealing with this. Passage this, like we read last time in news, he starts going into Ikarim of Tshuva. So I would expect that Rabbeinu Yonah first, talk in Mitzvah of Tshuva, talk to me about the Ikarim of Tshuva, of all the things that come with it, and then tell me when to do it, and not to delay. What's the pressure to talk about it right at the beginning of the Sefer? Immediately at the beginning. And if that is not enough, Rabbeinu Yonah finds it important to emphasize the same thing again. Where is that? That is that towards the end of the second shahr, should be in passage, starting in passage Tetzvav, okay, and onwards, and especially towards the really end, let's look towards the end of the passage Kaslav, towards the end of the Shal Sheni. Rabbeinu Yonah goes into interpreting the Mishnah, famous Mishnah in Avot, Imein Ani Limili, Kshani Latzmi Mani, Vimlo Achshav Imatai, if not now when. And Vimlo Achshav Imatai, towards the end of passage Kaslav, towards the end of it, let's say three or four lines before passage Kavzayim, Vimlo Achshav Imatai, אין ראוי לי לאחר יום או יומיים השתדלותי בתיקון נפשי ובצביעות איתים לתורה. I shall not wait even a day or two in trying to fix and correct my ways. צביעות איתים לתורה or all the things we need to correct. And then goes on and all the other passages and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things that happen that are bad with a person who doesn't do things in evil. Rabbeinu Yonah says, feels it important to emphasize, right in the beginning of the Sefer, and also a good part of the end of the Shaar Sheni, to this idea of not delaying the tshuva. And this is a topic I would like to speak about tonight. And it makes you think, why is it so important? But you have to remember that there are certain sparring, for instance, say if we take the Sefer Halachot of Rabbi Petal Fati Derif, or the Rosh on the Gemara, that they were organized by the order of the Gemara. So we don't question so much the order of the book, because the Gemara was written in a certain way, and those books were written as a commentary or based on the Gemara, never written in a certain order. But there are certain sparim that basically did a reorganization, or took a subject which a lot of people didn't write about, and wrote about it. So they had a certain reasoning when they put things into order in the Sefer. So I think it's important to find out why Rabbeinu Yonah found it so important to put this idea of not delaying tshuva right at the beginning of the Sefer. And maybe you say, he's not the only one. A lot of Rishonim did that. Let's take a look again at the Rambam, which is the main Sefer to compare here on Hilchot Tshuva. And the Rambam mentions this concept in, not in the first parak of Hilchot Tshuva, 10 talking, not in the second parak, not in the third. The seventh parak of Hilchot Tshuva, the Rambam remembers to tell us about this idea of not delaying doing tshuva. In parak Zayin of Hilchot Tshuva Halakha Bet, the Rambam writes Hilchot Tshuva obviously. Le'olam יראה אדם עצמו כאילו הוא נוטה למות, ושמה ימות בשעתו, ונמצא עומד בחטאו, לפיכך ישוב מחטאיו מיד. Says the Rambam, a person shall always see himself as if he's about to die. And maybe we never know when we're going to die. Bezat Hashem, Neveshet. We never know. And that's why. And we see we're still Omed Bechetot, we still didn't do tshuva, we still didn't improve our ways. So, do tshuva now. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Do tshuva now immediately. Here's an example. Since I'm about 5 years old, my mother's always saying, write a will. Like, do me a favor. Got married, write a will, stay with you. What's the present, write a will? We all know. Life insurance. What is insurance agent? No. Okay. We have, a lot of us say, or we're, sometimes we're forced to do this so by the bank, sign life insurance. Why? Because law made it. We never know what's going to happen. So therefore, if we're asking ourselves the basic question, why is it important to do tshuva immediately? Because you don't know if we'll get another chance. We don't forget another chance, so we're going to take advantage when we have a chance. Im lo achshav, im atay. We may never have a chance. Basically, the Rambam is basing himself on a Mishnah. Sorry. On a Mishnah in the Masechet Avot. Perek Sheni, Masechet Avot, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yi Chvod Chavercha, Chaviv Alecha, Keshelcha, Ve'al Tiyinoach Lichos. Okay, show respect your friend, don't be angry at people, also very important midot, and Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Mitatcha. So, maybe the Rambam is asking you, the Halacha, what Rabbi Eliezer told us, Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Mitatcha. Okay, so we have to take into account that Yom Yitzchak lo aleinu could be tomorrow. So, we need the tshuva as quick as possible. That is maybe the basic and first reason why it's important not to delay tshuva. We don't want to get another chance. The Gemara gives the example to this. It's like we were talking about writing a will. The Gemara gives the example of Mar Shabbat, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Mark, give an example of a king that says to all the people, you shall be ready, there's going to be a big feast. But doesn't give you a date, says you have to be ready. So all the serious people, they know when it's going to be, very late, take a shower, shave, get dressed, ready, make sure they're ready all the time. Other people, no, when is it going to be? He didn't tell us when it is. They'll probably be notices. Yes, we don't see them preparing there. You don't see them, anybody busy them in the castle or wherever it is, the palace. So, then the day comes, like that, okay? No problem, 2 seconds, there's a feast there. Everybody's invited, everybody in. The people are all ready, sitting, and others are not ready. Just stand aside and look for food. The Suda, the Rambam explains in a few places, the Suda feast, not a feast, feast of the Olam Hava, feast of the world to come, and they all need to be ready. That's the Rambam, the idea the Rambam is expressing here. I would just like to add in brackets. Why does the Rambam bring it, as I mentioned, back in the seventh parak of Hilchot Tshuva? If you look through Hilchot Tshuva, we'll see that the fifth and sixth parak of Hilchot Tshuva are dealing with free will. The subject of the fifth and sixth parak of Hilchot Tshuva is that every person has free will. We may be born with all kinds of characteristics, but we can all, for some people it's more difficult, some people it's easier, some people have some things that are more difficult, some people have some other things that are easier, but a person has free will. And as a result of that, that a person has free will, the Rambam tells us, why am I doing tshuva? It's difficult. My boss is driving me crazy. I don't have time to think. I come home, I don't have to think. I fall into bed. I don't have time to think. Rambam says, as mentioned in another context in the Gemara, Ena davar talui ela bi. Every person has to know that it depends on us. What we do depends on us. We can't give any excuses. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And since, after the fifth and sixth parak, the Rambam explains to us very thoroughly, that every person has free will. Therefore, what are you waiting for? You know you can do it. We know we can do it. So what are we waiting for? Okay? Perfect sign. Seven pair. Go ahead. Go ahead and do it. That, I think, is the context the Rambam brings this concept of not delaying tshuva as a preparation. If I would say it in Gemara terms, I would say it's tafel vaka mashmalan. Rabbi Lezer and the Rambam are giving us a good etza. Writing a will when you're young is not an obligation. It's right, it's good to do it. Why take a chance? You don't have to do it. No big reason. If we want to take privilege of the chance we have, okay, we go ahead. Very good. That is the first concept. But I would like to advance forward and develop the concept of not delaying tshuva a bit more. For that, we would want to look into the Gemara, which develops the words of Rav Lezer. Rav Lezer in the Mishnah says, Shuv yom echad lifnei mitatcha. Do tshuva one day before you die. It means, what is the purpose of tshuva? Olam haba. After we die. But we don't know when it's going to happen, so do it then. But the Gemara develops it a bit more. And the Gemara reads as follows. Sha'alu Talmidav et Rav Lezer. The Talmid of Rav Lezer asked him, how does a person know when he's going to die? He tells Shuv Yom Echad Liknei Mitatcha. Do Shuv a day before you die. How do you know when we're going to die? You're telling me something you can't do? That was the obvious question. So he said to them, V'kol Shekin, Adirada, Tzafika, because you don't know the day you're going to die, Yashuv Hayom Shema Yamut Lemachar, just like he said, do Shuv a day, maybe we're going to die tomorrow. But what's the result of that? What's the result of doing Shuv a today? V'nimtza kol yamav b'tshuva. I would say that maybe there's even a bit of a postmodern idea here. It's not only do tshuva today because we need it for afterwards. I'm just telling you that as a trigger for doing tshuva all the time. Instead of telling you do tshuva all the time, I put it into a phrase, do tshuva a day before you die. And then they tell me to ask, but how do you know we're going to die? That's exactly what I mean. Do tshuva every day. Nachon. But it's not because I'm thinking of afterwards, I'm thinking of today. I'm thinking that I want to be a better person today. I want to be a better person every day. And what's a trigger? How do I make a person feel that he wants to be better today and not just put it off? Like the diet and like all other things. So you say, don't put off to tomorrow what you can put off for another day, okay? And for the day after, and for another month, for another year. Like we do with everything we can, or the payments, or anything we want to put off. So that is exactly, Rav Lezer kind of was playing a word game in a way. He didn't really mean because they're going to die. It's also true. Olam haba, as we mentioned the Rambam before. But it's more than that. We want to be better with people all the time. And that is the way he said it in the words Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Mitatcha. So that nimtza kol yamav b'tshuva. So that the result is that we are all the time better. As we are studying Shari Tshuva, I would like to mention here also that in general, this is a kind of a new concept, because if you study modern philosophy, let's say classical philosophy, thought that once you know something, you will obviously be doing what you know. I mean, once you understand something, understand with your mind the concept, automatically you'll probably be doing what you understand. There's almost no, I wouldn't say difference, but gap. Thank you. There's almost no gap between the mind, the thinking, and the action. And that is the Rambam, just the way the Rambam works. In the classical way of philosophical thinking, since we understand
the power of free will, okay, go ahead and do it. What are you waiting for?
But for Ben Yona, and this is a general thing in Sefer Shari Tshuva, now we'll jump a bit to the Shara Sheni, the second Shara. I think a general overlook in general. The Shara Sheni, Ben Yona asked us a new concept. And he said, it's not enough to know something. I'm sure we've all crowded the hospitals in happier or sadder occasions and seen doctors that smoke. Anybody didn't see anybody like that? Now, show me. Obviously, every doctor understands that smoking isn't healthy. So why does he smoke? Come on, why are you smoking? We all know that there are things that are stronger sometimes at the moment. Or if we don't control them, we don't control our feelings or certain things that make us feel we want certain things. So even though it's the back of our mind, I would say the back of our head, it's not enough. And Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this. He doesn't leave us just to teach us the Ikarim of the Tshuva. The first Sha'ar, the first gate, deals with the Ikarim of the Tshuva. Explains us all the concepts that we understand, but understanding is not enough. Let's look at the opening sentence of the Sha'ar HaSheni. What the Sha'ar HaSheni? Lehoros Badrachim. I'm going to teach you the Drachim. Lehoros Badrachim. Sheyitorer Adam Bahem Lashuv El Hashem. I want to teach you the ways which wake us up and cause us to do tshuva. It's not enough to understand. We need to have something extra rather than understanding. And then he goes in the first passage and says there, "Darkei hasibot she'to'er adam bahem lashuv mibracha v'arim u'shisha," and the whole shah goes through these six different ways. It could be musar shiurim, it could be learning, it could be and it could be as the end, as in the end of the Shara Sheni, which he mentioned before, remembering the day of death. But remembering the day of death here is not the purpose. It's just a way, a derech, le'orer et atzmei. What we want to do is to wake ourselves up, to be able to do what we want to do. What we want to do, what we understand we need to do. But we understand there are other things. So we want to let over it, Adam. That is what we have here. And Rabbeinu Yonah goes thoroughly into these six different ways. Shemol brings that down to Tshuvan, the sixth one and the last one, and the one that is the longest one they put so much writing into is this Lizkor Yom HaMad. Because really, when we remember that, and a lot of times we know that La'aleinu, when sad things happen, people die, suddenly get it. You understand the proportion of things in life. So you think, we're running after this and that, all these material things. You know, what we were doing today, we're doing tomorrow, everything seems so important. Suddenly somebody dies and say, what was all this worth? When you think of that, suddenly you understand we better be, or at least put more time into dealing with the tshuva and improving our ways. And dealing with the real essence of the important things in life. So that is the concept of Rabbeinu Yonah gives here a chiddush. Again, according to the Gemara, but a new way of interpreting the Gemara. That means the Shul Yom Chayim V'Tzachas. So that Kol Yamav B'Tshuva. That is the second way of understanding, not delaying the tshuva that we have as our whole life is there. That is the result. But I would like to go even a step further. And again, connected to Rabbeinu Yonah. But to develop the next step, in understanding this concept of not delaying tshuva, why is it so important? From how Rabbeinu Yonah puts it right at the beginning of the Sefer. I would like to go a bit into, I would say, a halachic / yeshivish discussion of it, which may seem a bit far-fetched at first glance, but I think when we get to the end of it, it will emphasize so much the ideas we're trying to put forward tonight. Last week we referred to tshuva as a mitzvah. A person who gives us a mitzvah, an obligation. We have to do tshuva. We have to improve our way. Not only in a Sefer Mitzvah, not only in Chodesh El, all the time. As we're talking now, not delaying, all the time. Once we realize we have to improve something, all the time. And here comes up a halachic question, a general halachic question. What happens when a mitzvah comes up, and we're allowed to do the mitzvah in a certain span of time? Are we allowed to wait to the last minute or not? Do we have to do it the first chance we have? Or could we allow ourselves to wait for the last minute? Let's give an example. Okay? A bris. Okay? You have a son, you want to do a bris. Now, bris on the eighth day. Bris has to be done lechatchila, so if the baby is healthy, on the eighth day. Right? The eighth day could be a long time. You can do it in the morning, after Vatikin, 6 in the morning. You can do it 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, maybe in the summer, 7 o'clock, if you go home from work. Is there any obligation to do it right at Nate's? Or if you wait to the end of the day? Halacha is, lechatchila, we're allowed to wait. The whole day is okay, from morning to evening. We can't do it written at night, but the whole day is okay. But there is the extra mitzvah, Amidat Chasidut, of Zrizim Makdimim Mitzvot. Avraham Avinu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, told him not to do a bris, but something much more difficult, to take his son and bring him up on the altar and put him on the altar as a korban. The Torah says, Vayashkem Avraham Boker, Avraham Avinu wanted to do the Kadosh Baruch Hu so much, Zrizim Makdimim Mitzvot, he woke up right in the morning, he didn't wait till the evening, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it tomorrow. He could have waited. Maybe the Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind in the meantime. No, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told me, straight in the morning. And from that we learned that you come on the con of Zrizim Makdimim Mitzvot. People are Zrizim who want to do things properly. Makdimim, do it as quick as possible. But that's a Midat Chasidut. It's not. We don't have to do it. It's good to do it. The Zima Jimmy stuff is good, but we don't have to. And if it's more convenient, the doctor can only come at we have two Molly, one is at 11, one is at 2, and we like the one that's a little too flat. Mechaba, do it 2 o'clock. For any other reason. So we like this one better than that one, okay. Wait till 2 o'clock. So the Zima Jimmy stuff. Shofar. We have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Coming to Rosh Hashanah, we have to blow grain on the morning. Or can we hear it? Show for lunchtime. So it's for that preferable. We got chasidus. Do as early as possible. But tomorrow, we have the whole day to do. There are a few other mitzvot. Hanukkah candle lighting, between the time of Hanukkah candle lighting, which is a big halachic issue in itself, but we don't have to do it right on the first minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, in the time of Beit HaMikdash, bring the korbanot. Korbanot that were supposed to be brought in the night, could be brought all night. The Mishnah says, kol mitzvah, kol davar shemitzvato bayom, kasher kol hayom, kol davar shemitzvato balayla, kasher kol hayom, is okay all the time. We have a problem, zrizim makdimim mitzvot. Okay, very good, zrizim makdimim mitzvot. We don't have to do. But, when we open Rambam, we suddenly find a few interesting halachot that question this idea we just said. That if we have a wide span of time to do a mitzvah, so we don't have to do it immediately. The Rambam in Hilchot Milah. Hilchot Milah. Rani Chot Milah, Perek Aleph Al-Khabit. Says as follows. What happens to a person who bogeyed it from a bris when he was a kid? Made Aliyah from Russia. Made Aliyah from Russia, and he knows he has to do a bris. He's after the eighth day. Now, the Bible says, we know it's very severe not to have greed, but if a person dies without it, it's karet, very severe. Does he have to do it or not? Immediately or not? Or could he wait till he's old? Maybe not preferable medically, but could he wait till he's older or not? The Rambam says, "Kshigdal hu chayav lamulet atzmo." And the Rambam says, "V'chol yom v'yom she'avor alav mishigdal." Even though he can do it till he dies, every day that passes from when he's bar mitzvah onwards and he didn't do a bris, v'lo yamulet atzmo, harei hu mevatel mitzvat aseh. He's omitting or canceling a mitzvah. He's doing a teira every day. Every day. What's going on? What about Reason McKinney? Why is it not Reason McKinney? The Vatel mitzvah tase. So severe that 100 years ago in Kovno, the Devar Avram, Rav Avram Duber Shapira, the Rav of Kovno, had a case where they had to do two bris on the same day. One was on the 8th day, one was a bris on time, was the 8th day for the meal, and the other baby was after the 8th day. Said Rav Shapira, he said, do the one who's not on the 8th day first. Why? Because the one that it's his 8th day, it's only his reason for academia. It's always preferable to do it as early as possible. But the other one, every day that passes, it's Avera. Every moment that passes, it's Avera. Do it first. Do it best first. Big chiddush. Such a big chiddush that most of the achronim, most of the rabbanim, long 100 years ago, even rabbis of today, are cholek on him. They say it's not right. Why? Because everybody agrees that if at the end, okay, the person's out of bris, so there's no more Avera anymore. So what's the difference? At the end of the day, or tomorrow, or another week, is no bris, okay. And there's no Avera anymore. So what's the problem? What's the pressure? The Rambam said, Over? No, Mevatel mitzvah taseh. He meant just Zvizim Makdim, like we were saying. It's preferable to do it before. Another example, getting married. Mitzvah Turu. The obligation to get married, according to the Rambam, to marry, is to have a family. Puv. The Rambam says, listen to this carefully. Everybody married? Okay. What is the age a person is obligated to get married? 17. Mibem Shbaisle. Bechivan she'avru 20 shala velo nasa isha. A person passes the age of 20, okay, and didn't get married. Harei ze over u'mevatel mitzvat aseh. Over u'mevatel mitzvat aseh of pruvu. That means he's not on a status where he could do pruvu. He or she. Again, what's the problem? I get married at age 40. Okay, maybe not 60. Problem if it's pruvu at age 60, unless you're Abraham Avinu or Sarah. But, about 20 years to go, what's the pressure? Why is it over? Umvatel mitzvah taseh. Because at the end, if we're mekayim the mitzvah, so mekayim the mitzvah.
Nahon.
So say, if it happens, the Rambam says, for instance, in the example of Mila, it's Mefarash. It says, if a person dies without a bris, he's highest kares. Okay? Correct. But if he didn't, if he just waited a week, he's not chayav karet. The Rambam doesn't say that.
You don't know until that week is up, you were going to live
again. Nahon, but why is... Nahon. So what are you implying? That what?
It's like shura. You can't wait because you don't know when the time's going to be up.
Nahon. So it's...
So if you have a mitzvah...
Okay, but Nahon, you're right, but that would only be as a good eitzah tova. You better do it now because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But it's not an obligation to do it now. Why does the Rambam say that you're doing a Avera by not doing it now? It's my... I want to take the chance. I think I'm healthy and bad. I'm not going to die. I don't drive a car. I'm not going to go in an accident. I don't go out of the house. I'm breathing. I have oxygen beside me. Everything's okay. So you say it's better. It's preferable to do it because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the Rambam says that an Avera mitzvah taseh. I'm doing the Avera by not doing it today. Why? I just said, I think I'm going to last till tomorrow. What's the problem? Okay, if I don't last, Nachon, okay. So we find out, it happens that I find out I did Avera. But if I last up till tomorrow, why do I have Avera today?
And that's always going to depend on you define mitzvah say, not doing mitzvah say about biyadol. And the second letter is mitzvah biyadol, so then you do what you don't do. And if you don't do it, then you're over there on a mitzvah.
But the Rambam doesn't say that lulav. This kushiya I'm bringing up here. Okay, what do we do basically now? Let's summarize and make it, put a bit of order into things. We thought that this kushiya I built up now is a kushiya of the pre-Yitzchak. Pre-Yitzchak towards Reb Yitzchak Blazer, or nicknamed Reb Yitzchak Mipetrburg. Really, he was one of the big rabbis of the Muslim movement, the big Talmud of Reb Yisrael Salanter, born I think 1837, and I think he lived into the 20th century, early 20th century, and he was a big Musar Rav. He was one of the main rabbis who brought Musar all over East Europe. Story even says that he met with Reb Chaim Brisker in Volozhin and tried to influence him to bring Musar studies into the yeshiva, and Reb Chaim wouldn't agree. He said to him, look, it says we need a little mercy so that we'd be able to learn Torah properly. He said, nah, Musar is only for the sick people. If you know how to learn, if you're healthy, you don't need Musar. Musar is just sit and learn. You people, you Musar guys are, you don't want to learn so well, so you need a bit of Musar. Anyway, Reb Yitzchak Blazer was also a big Rambam, a big Prince of Halacha. He had a Sefer Shas and Tshuvas called Pri Yitzchak. He puts this question up on the table. He said, why are there certain mitzvahs? This is the point I want to make. Why are there certain mitzvahs, like lulav and shofar, that we say that if we have the whole day, you're not over if you wait till the end of the day. It's only true in the beginning. It's probably better to do it at the beginning.
You have one time mitzvah. Okay? You do your lulav, you've done your mitzvah. Indeed.
Same with children, and the same with what we're talking about now. No. Every opportunity to do it, you could do it 100 times. And each one
of them separately.
No. Every opportunity you do it, you're missing out on a mitzvah. But Mila, you do once. Mila, you do once. Mila, after they do once.
But
I think I'll try maybe phrase it differently. I'll have to. Now, it goes with you all the time. Okay, Simon and John, you think? Okay, let's get things together. Okay. Can I offer a try? Okay. Okay. I think John and Simon here are being together the point which I wanted to make. And so it's important to put this question on the table. Why are the certain mitzvahs over every second and second we don't do them? And other mitzvahs, there's only this reason, like him, it's only preferable to do. Why is that? What's the difference? So I'll phrase it in my way, and I think everybody in his own way, I'll try and put it over as clear as possible. There are certain mitzvahs, as Johnny said, there are one-time mitzvahs. Or I would say the mitzvah is the act. Sheikh Lulav, low shofar. Was I a different person before I shook the lulav or after? No. Obviously, I have another schut that I did mitzvah lulav. Seder gemor. I have another schut, or maybe I was a bit more waking up for tshuva when I heard the shofar. Blow the shofar, or hear the shofar. The mitzvah is that. But there are certain mitzvot that change our status. A person who's married and not married is totally different. A person who has a bris and doesn't have a bris is a different person. A person who has a Jewish identity with him or who doesn't have it. Kol arei lo yuchal bo, someone who doesn't have a bris can now eat Korban Pesach. He's not part of Am Yisrael, that was in Yisiyat Mitzrayim. He's not an integral part of Am Yisrael. Which means, so why is the Rambam meaning, what are we saying? Why does the Rambam tell us that in Priya Rivya, in getting married, and in Mila, every second that we don't do it, we're over, because the status we're in isn't good. We're not married yet. It's not good that we're not married yet. It's not good that we don't have a bris. And it needs to bother us. It needs to bother us that we're not in a good situation. And that's why we need to not delay it even 1 second. Every second we delay is Oben. It's our Oben to delay. So far, so good. We're not bad people or something. Nothing's wrong if we didn't shake lulav yet. Nothing's wrong if we didn't hear the shofar yet. That doesn't change us into different people. And here we come to tshuva, and I think now we all understand it together, and I think we brought it up and now we understand it so well. Why is it so important to do tshuva so fast? If tshuva is only a mitzvah, as we said last time, it's an obligation to do an act or a certain some meditation or think a bit, so we can wait a bit. We can wait a day, we can wait a week, we can wait a year. If you want to take advantage of it, I want to take chances, okay, so we'll do it as quick as possible. But what is the point? Why is Rabbeinu Yonah think it's so important to do tshuva immediately? Why? Because we need to feel that if we did things not good, we have to feel not good. We have to feel we need to do something about it. If we don't feel that, something's wrong. If we feel we can put it off to tomorrow, that means something's wrong. We feel good with it. We don't care. That is the point. When we're in a situation where we need to do tshuva, we need to improve our ways, it's not a good situation. And let's now leave the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. I think they might, in light of what we said, I think, again, Shal Aleph, Seif Bet. I mean, it slowly, so we'll just far more to understand. Vida, we'll repeat again. Vida, I shall know. Ki achote, kasher yitacher lashuv mechatzon, and delay his tshuva, ikhbad mo'od alav onsho bechol yom. Punishment gets heavier. Why? A person knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with him. A ketzef is like anger. We have where to go. We have a manos. We have a place we can run away to. That manos is what? Tshuva. Improving our way. Deciding to do better things. And the chozer. And what do we do? We don't care. Okay, we're waiting. We don't mind. Who meant the meal go? And we're standing and saying, okay, no, I'm okay. This doesn't bother me anymore. It doesn't bother me so much. It's okay, I can live with it another day. I can live with it another week. It's not so bad. We'll make the meal go, but you know, the Rata, the person stands with his mered and with his dad, and he's still in his beva ato, in his bad situation. And the gate is open. The Rata gave us a way. And we can do it, as the Rambam said. We have our free will. We can do it. There's no excuses here. The lawyer go, it's not that matter. They're not afraid of it as well. They're not afraid of anything. We don't feel anything wrong. We don't think anything's wrong. That's why it's very severe. And look at the mashal of Chazal, a famous mashal, I think, in Midrash Kohelet. Famous, but now it sticks out so much, I think we understand it so well. Mashal echad shel listim, and listim, you have to understand that listim are not police. Listim are kind of robbers, and they used to take people, would kidnap people so they can get ransom. Okay? And Kachel Listim, Shechavashan HaMelech Bebet HaAsurim, Zechatchu Machtelet. Okay, and these people were caught by the police, okay, by the Melech, were put in jail, and they managed to dig their way out. Zechatchu Machtelet Parzu V'Yavoru, and one of them was said, I'm a Tadik, I'm staying behind. Then comes the guard, comes in the next day and says to him, you're shugging it. What's going on with you? The gate's open. What are you sitting here? What happened to this guy? What happened to this guy? Okay, he's shugging. Why is he shugging? Hello, you don't realize where you are? You don't realize you're in a prison? You're in a dungeon? Get out of there. This is exactly what Rabinier is talking about. Or when we're in a situation where we want to improve things, is a bad situation. It's like sitting in jail. And if we don't feel it, if we can delay, if we can put it off, then we just say, okay, we can live with it. No. We can't live with it. We have to feel it. That is the important point for me to understand here about Ra'at HaMitachim and HaTshuva. Just one more point. One more development of the seven. This sefer, Shev Shmata. The sefer usually learned in yeshivot. Those of you who have gone through yeshiva probably see the book maybe on the outside, maybe a bit on the inside. It's a very lomdish book, goes into pilpul and lasugiyot. And we're not going to go through, we had enough pilpul for tonight. But I would like to bring forth from here an idea he brings in his introduction to the sefer. And he brings it in the name of the Baal Akeda, Rav Yitzchak Arama, from the Rishonim, was expelled from Spain, and he says as follows. He says, Kohelet says that, Tzadik in ba'aretz asher yafet tov velo yechta. There is no such thing that man does not sin. He said, radically, it's almost impossible. Not almost, he said, it's impossible for a human being not to sin, not to do, to do everything right all the time. It's impossible. It is impossible. So here comes the question, what is that Kosbroku judging us for? It is impossible for a human being, it's not about as regard to the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, how could Moshe Rabbeinu sin? Any human being sins. Every human being has things he has to improve. Every single one of us. So how does Kosbroku punish us for what we do? If we're human beings. Well, he made us human beings, because brother, you made us, what do you want from us? Says the Shmaita, says the Kosbroku maybe made us human, and human beings make mistakes. And human beings have faults, right. But who told you not to try and improve those faults? Who told you to stay with that and be content with that? That is the sin itself. If a person is content with being faulty, that's exactly the problem. That is the sin itself. Now, Rabbi Ben Yoni won't read the words himself, but it goes on in the next two passages talking about the Chofetz Chaim, the story about the Chofetz Chaim. The first time he found Rabin, somebody who was Mechal Shabbos, he cried for half an hour. The next Shabbos, he saw again somebody who was Mechal Shabbos, and he cried for a whole hour. Somebody said, what's going on? Last week, the first time he saw it, he cried for half an hour. Second week, he cried for an hour. He said the Chofetz Chaim. The first time, I was crying because it was Mechal Shabbos. I was sad there was this Chilul Shabbos and Radim. This week, I cried because I got used to it. We need to teach ourselves not to get used to it. Not for ourselves, not for our surroundings. I must say, people came to me once and few times, even here in Bichan, I said, you know, we'd like to see a bit more different people. You know, maybe a bit more cars driving in Shabbos. I don't want to see any cars driving in Shabbos. Doesn't mean I need to run away to the mountains for that. But it has to bother us. If it doesn't bother us, it's a problem. It means we got used to it. And with everything we do, we don't want to get used to it. That is the most important thing that Rabbi Yonah feels put right at the beginning of the paper. Because that is chet itself. That is the main concept of tshuva. David HaMelech also sinned. He sinned. But the Gemara says, David HaMelech hikim ula shel tshuva. David HaMelech sinned, but he knew how to do tshuva. That's the greatness of David HaMelech. Anybody can fall. Any one of us, each and every one can make mistakes. But the Chokhmah is not to be content with them. Not to leave them. We didn't try to say, okay, later. No. We want to take care of them and deal with them. And every one of us thinks and wants to think forward and think what we can do and not give up on it. And take ourselves, b'kachat et atzmeinu b'yadayim, everybody knows the term, and go forward, not tomorrow, today. And that is the lesson of Rabbeinu Yonah. Teaches us right at the beginning of Sefer Shari Tshuva, and at the end of Sefer Shari Tshuva, which is mainly, I think, that one of the most important concepts of how to have a tshuva. Next week, Rav Hashem, we're going through, I think, really practical ways of exactly what we need to do. What are we doing? What exactly goes on in our minds or in our hearts when we're doing tshuva? How to, as much as possible, how to deal with it practically, in every individual in his own way, and see the methods that, the practical methods really of teaching us Rav Hashem. And we shall, as Rav Hashem, next week and go forward.